So good to have you. Let's go ahead. Let's welcome everybody that's joining us online, especially all of our Marines and our military. Welcome you. Even right now, we saw on Facebook Live that our mission team that is in Guatemala City, that they're watching as well. So come on, let's say a big, big hello to them as well. Love you guys. So we are continuing this weekend in our fall teaching series called Experiencing God. So go ahead, grab your teaching guide. And I tell you, as you're finding your way there, I have been so blessed over the years to be able to travel around, not just nationally, but even globally, to just be able to see what God is doing in the world, in missions. And we've been able to establish so many incredible partnerships, many that are still, you know, going on today, from the Middle East and Nepal to Uganda and Kenya. And I've discovered during my travel that there's a right way to travel and there is a wrong way to travel. How many of you know that? That if you find yourself going somewhere that you've never been, there's three things that you could do. One, you could just kind of drift. Like just show up at a place and just like whatever happens, happens. Wherever I go. So you just kind of drift. I don't really advise that. A lot of areas not really safe to just simply drift, all right? But another way that you could travel is to get a map. And I love maps, especially those fancy maps that are like more like guidebooks. And they tell you all the different attractions and the places to see. And they kind of help you kind of get around. But here's the problem with me. I'm horrible at reading a map. All right? I have the worst map skills on the planet. I have a horrible sense of direction. And the problem with a map is that you first have to know where you are in order to figure out where you're going. I think it was just a little over a year ago, me and a mission team, we were going over to Uganda and to Kenya to work with some of our Compassion International partners. And so we were there. We had a layover, a full day layover in Amsterdam, which we were pretty excited about. My wife had looked at all of the different places where you need to eat, so she had this incredible plan together. We were like, we're going to eat this specific place. So I was looking at the map, and it was just like, it was like over there somewhere, all right? Just over there. And here's the problem that we discovered in Amsterdam. It's a labyrinth, all right? It is a maze. Every city, every street looks identical. And the problem is we were so exhausted. We had already been in the airplane for like 12, 13 hours. We were jet lagged. We were exhausted. We were hungry. It cost money in a currency we didn't have to even go to the bathroom. And so we're trying to figure out how to change money to go to the bathroom and couldn't even go to McDonald's. So like found a McDonald's, like, yeah, we can go to the bathroom. They charge you to go to the bathroom at McDonald's. It just messed up, all right? And so we're trying to figure our way around. And by the end of the day, we found ourselves, it just started to pour down rain. And so we went and we hunkered down under this awning at this coffee shop in Amsterdam. I don't know if you know anything about coffee shops in Amsterdam. They don't sell coffee, all right? They sell weed, okay? And so here me and our mission team is sitting under this awning with like 10 dudes smoking a bowl right behind us, all right? And so we're just standing there and I'm really starting to crave French fries and Cheetos. And so, I mean, that's what happens when you don't know how to read a map, all right? Maps are great if you know how to use them. They can really kind of get you from place to place. But I've discovered this, that the best way to travel is to have a personal guide. To have someone that knows that area. Maybe they've been there their entire life. They've been there before. And those, a personal guide, they know the best spots. They know the language. They know where to go and how to get there and how to save time and money and how to stay safe. They know the history. They know the best places to eat that won't, you know, make you sick. I mean, a personal guide is the best way to get the best experience when you're traveling. And I would say this, the same is true for each and every one of our lives as well. That you got really three options. You can drift through life, or maybe you can get a map and try to figure out where you are and where you need to go by that map, or you can get a personal guide. And I would say this, that your life experience and your life's sense of effectiveness and satisfaction is going to be greatly determined by the choice that you make. I think a lot of people just kind of drift through life. They might have an idea of the kind of life that they want to live or the things that they want to experience or do, but as it relates to the eternal things of God, like how to know God and how to know His will and how to do His will, if you're drifting, you're just going to miss it. If you're just drifting through life, you're going to miss out on what God is desiring to do in you and through you. And I can also say this, that the world offers a million different maps to choose from. Maybe you got a map on how to get the girl or how to build the body or how to have a successful business or the kind of house that you should have, the kind of clothes that you should wear, the kind of life that you should live. You can go down to Hollywood and Vine in Hollywood, California. Been there. They'll hand you a map to be able to find the stars' houses and see how the rich and famous live. I mean, the world has a million maps to choose from. But what I want you to see today is that God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And because of that, God has given you both a guidebook, a map, and a personal guide to help you to know how to live the life that you are created to live. And today we want to look at experiencing God, reality number four. We're in our fourth week on that. Let's take a look at that. It's rather lengthy, but we're going to break it down today in our conversation. And so let me just read this fourth reality given by Henry Blackaby in his work, Experiencing God. He says this. He said, God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. Let's start with that first part. Just write this down with me today. God speaks to us. Would you say that out loud with me? God speaks to us. I get that question all the time. Like, Jason, does God still speak to people today? Does God still speak to people today? And the answer is absolutely. I mean, this is a truth that we see evident throughout the scriptures, that God is speaking to His people, that God is revealing Himself and His will to us. I mean, think about the truths that we already covered in the last 3 weeks of experiencing God. Remember, truth number one is that God is always at work around us, in and around our lives. Reality number two, that God is pursuing a love relationship with you that is both real and personal. And then what we looked at last week is that God is inviting us to become involved with Him in His work and on His mission. Think about this. You and I could never know God or God's will. We could never understand where God is at work or what it means to have a real and personal relationship with Him. We couldn't even know how to get involved with Him if God has not made a way to communicate with us. Because you can't have a relationship with someone that you can't communicate with, right? I mean, if you can't communicate, there is no relationship. And so the question is not, does God speak? The answer is, God is always speaking. Yes, God is speaking. The real question is, do you know how to listen? Do you know how to recognize the voice of God? So today, let's get really particular about this and look, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Just write that down. God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't stay on the earth after He rose again? Like, why did Jesus have to ascend into heaven? Why did He go back to heaven after He rose again? Been pretty cool if 2,000 years later we could make some kind of a spiritual pilgrimage, maybe to the Middle East, to Jerusalem, and go down and still meet Jesus today, right? Be pretty cool. It's kind of a religious thing to do. And Jesus didn't come to start a religion, but He came to reconnect us to an eternal relationship with the Father. And so that's not what He was about. But why did Jesus go back to heaven? John chapter 16 and verse 7. This is what Jesus said to His disciples. He says, but I tell you the truth, that it is for your good that I'm going away. Because unless I go away, the Counselor, underline that, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He will come, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Verse 12, I love this. Jesus looks at His disciples and He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, underline this in your Bible. The Spirit of truth comes. He will what? Say it with me out loud. He will guide you into all truth. The Bible says he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Think about that. Jesus is saying, it's better that I go away. Because as soon as I get to heaven, I get to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into truth. The Holy Spirit is going to be your personal guide for life. He's going to direct your life. He's going to show you everything that I need you to see. He's going to point you to your relationship with me. He's going to point you to my word and my truth. He's going to point you to the future that I have for you, all that I still have in store for you. So Jesus is like, I'm going back to heaven, but whenever I get there, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and it is going to be so much better for you. Everybody say, so much better. Why is the Holy Spirit better than Jesus? Well, the reason why is because when Jesus was on the earth, he was limited by his human body. So Jesus could only be at one place at one time. So Jesus could not be in Jerusalem and in Jacksonville at the same time. He could only be at one place at one time. And so when he ascended into heaven and sent the Spirit of God can be in every single one of us. And the Bible says that when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord, the Spirit of God is placed inside of us. There's that relationship. Christ, like, I'm still with you. He says, I'm with you by the Spirit. John 14 and verse 16. Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, I'll ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He's speaking in future tense to them. He's like, but you're going to know him. And here's why. Because he's going to live with you and he's going to be in you. This is awesome, is it not? Jesus is like, this is better for you because the Spirit of God is going to be with you in your life, but the Spirit of God is going to be inside of you. The name of the Spirit of God, he's an indwelling spirit. The Spirit of God is our helper. The Spirit of God is our counselor. The Spirit of God is our personal guide to truth and life. 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit. We see God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given to us. And so if God communicates with us by the Holy Spirit, then one of the most important things that we can learn to do as children of God is to learn to listen to him, to learn to hear his voice. How many of you know, whenever you're starting a new relationship, it takes a while to get to know the other person. Right? It takes a little while. And some of you, whenever you first started your relationship with Jesus, you weren't very good at it. You didn't really know how to listen to him. You didn't know how to follow him. It takes a little while to learn his voice. But this is something that the Father said. He said, my sheep know my voice. They hear me and they obey me. They obey me. Listen, as your relationship with God grows, you learn his voice. You learn what he sounds like. You can recognize when God is speaking to you. When my wife calls me on the phone and says, hi, I never have to say, now who is this again? I mean, you know, that would not work out very well. I don't encourage you to do that, even playing with your spouse, all right? Like when she's like, hey, and I don't go, now who am I talking to again? I know that is my wife. I know that, why? Because I know her voice. Why do I know her voice? Because I know her. And the better that I've gotten to know my wife, the better I've gotten to know her voice. If you ever had somebody call you, maybe one of those spam calls that we get a million of every single day that drives us absolutely crazy, but you'll get a phone call and somehow they've got your name. And so they're getting tricky, all right? They're like, call from a 910 number, and you pick it up, you know, and they're like, hey, Jason, how are you doing today? And I'm sitting there going, I don't know this voice. I don't know you. And I'm not saying this out loud. I'm not rude most of the time. I'm like, I'm thinking, I don't know this voice. This is not, I don't know this person. they're using my name, but I don't know them. My children over the years have been trained to recognize my whistle, all right? And so I can be at a football game, Jacksonville High School football game. There might be, you know, 1,000 people out there. If I see my kid on the field or if I see my kid on the other side of the field, I can whistle. I'm gifted, all right? I can whistle, and my kids, no matter what they're doing, they're like, trained like a dog, all right? I'm telling you. They know my whistle. Why do they know my whistle? Out of all the refs' whistles and the people screaming and the cowbells and everything, why do they know my whistle? Because they know me. They know me. And they know my voice. They know my whistle. I've got friends I haven't talked to in months. Maybe you might have friends that you haven't talked to in years. And they call you. You pick up the phone and they say hi. You know exactly who it is. Why do you know their voice? Because you know them. I want you to know God is speaking to you by His Holy Spirit. And the more that you grow in your relationship with God, the better you will get at recognizing His voice in your life. Amen? Write this down. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? First thing, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The foundation of the Christian life, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Bible. Through the Bible. Remember, Jesus told us that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you in all truth. Jesus says in John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so when the Spirit of God is speaking to you, He's going to point you to the word of God. Listen, to encounter the word of God is to encounter the voice of God. Some of you are like, but I want a burning bush. Like, I want God to speak to me from a burning bush. Listen, you don't need a burning bush when God has already given you a Bible. God's given you His word. God is speaking to you, and the Spirit of God will open the word of God to you. Have you ever been reading the scriptures, and then all of a sudden you're reading it, and all of a sudden then you discover that, wait, the word of God is now reading you. You ever been there? I've read this passage 100 times, and now, whoa, where'd that come from? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is highlighting truth and planting it into your heart and into your life. How many of you know what this right here is? Anybody know what this is? This is a plumb bob, right? This is a plumb line. Contractors use this to be able to establish a true line, what is perfectly vertical. And they're often, whenever you see something, they might put a post or they'll put a plumb bob there to see whether or not it is straight up and down. And if something is a little off kilter, something is a little crooked, you might hear a contractor or a construction guy go, you need to true that up. And what that means is you need to take what is out of alignment and you need to make sure that it is in alignment. Do you realize that's what the Word of God is? The Word of God is the plumb line in our life. It is the measure of truth in our life. How many of you know that if you're gonna build a house, you better build it with real math, not Common Core math? I mean, Common Core math does not build good homes, right? Why? Because it better be straight. Because if it's not straight, it's not gonna stand up. It's got to be built on truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, all scripture, everybody say all scripture, that's Genesis to Revelation, all scripture is God breathed. That God breathed the word of God. And the Bible says, and it is useful, otherwise this is what you use it for, all right? This is what it's used for. It will teach you. The word of God will rebuke you. The word of God will correct you. The word of God will train you in righteousness so that the man of God or the woman of God, the person of God, may be thoroughly, holistically equipped, made ready for every good work. Listen, if you're not allowing the word of God to be the plumb line of your life, if you're not allowing it to be the foundation of your life, then you are not being equipped for the life that God has for you. In order to understand the life God has for you, you got to understand the word of life. And the word of God becomes the guidebook, the map for knowing and understanding truth and doing the life that God has, which means everything that we do, everything that we think has to be lined up and measured by the word of God. And you realize this, that the Spirit of God will only speak what is in harmony with the word of God. The Spirit of God will never speak something that contradicts the word of God. If you hear something and it does not line up with the word of God, that's not the Spirit of God. It might be another spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God, because truth is revealed from the word of God. The word of God is our foundation. I've had people come to me and they're like, Jason, the Lord told me to tell you this. Wait a second. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, the next thing you say better be scripture. The next thing you say better line up with the word of God and the heart of God. I mean, people come, I got a word from God for you. The Lord told me to tell you that he doesn't think you need to wear blue jeans when you preach. This is kind of what I get every once in a while. I'm like, listen, that's not the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of religion. All right? And the reason why I know that is because I know my daddy's voice, and that doesn't sound like him. And the reason why I know my daddy's voice is because we're in relationship. And also, I have the word of God. I had a guy a while back, and I was speaking truth, and he came up to me after the service. He's like, man, whenever you said that, I just felt like I needed to stand up and tell the church to repent and turn from their sin and turn back to God. And he said, man, I just really felt like the Spirit was telling me to do that. And I looked at him, I was like, no, he wasn't. I promise you this, it's not a wise thing to do to stand in a crowd of 700 Marines and start yelling at people. The Spirit of God would not put your life in jeopardy like that. My security team would have taken you out before you even knew what happened. All right, listen, so we gotta make sure that if we're saying the Spirit is leading me, then it is lining up with the Word of God. It's lining up with the Word of God. Now, when the Spirit of God speaks to you through the scriptures, it's very important to understand that when the Spirit of God speaks and it lines up with the truth of God, then immediately is when God is calling you to respond. You and I do not get to change our view of scripture to meet our skewed desires. We have to adjust our skewed desires and bring them into alignment with what the Spirit of God is revealing in the word of God. James 1:22 says, don't just listen to God's word, you gotta do what it says. If you don't do what it says, then you're just fooling yourself. Just fooling yourself. And so the moment that God speaks to you through the Bible is the very moment that God wants you to obey. How many of you know this? Delayed obedience is disobedience. That's something I try to teach my kids all the time. Like, you don't get to obey when you want to obey. If you're obeying when you want to obey, that's not obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And so when the Spirit of God speaks and the Word of God convicts, that's when God is calling you to adjust your life and to step out in obedience to the Lord. The Spirit of God is speaking. He's speaking to you by His Word. The Spirit of God will also speak to you through prayer. How many of you know prayer is a relationship, not a religious activity? That prayer is a two-way conversation between you and God. It's talking to God about your life, about anything and everything, but it's also, prayer is seeking the heart of God and seeking the wisdom of God and seeking the counsel of God and allowing God to direct your life. And the more that you pray, listen, the more that you pray, the better you will get at discerning God's voice. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And this is what he said in Matthew 6. He said, pray this way, our Father in heaven. You notice he didn't say, when you talk to God, approach God as this distant deity in the sky upon a throne. That's not a relationship. Jesus says, when you talk to God, understand that because of your adoption, you are a son, you are a daughter. So talk to your father. Talk to him about anything. Talk to him about everything. He said, hallowed be your name. He says, pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done. Everybody say, your will be done. Listen, in prayer, we're not seeking to bend God to our will. We're seeking a relationship that transforms our sense of understanding and awareness about who he is and his purpose and his desires so that our heart might be bent to his. We're not trying to manipulate God into our vision or our dream. We're putting ourselves into a relationship that says, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth in this moment as you have purposed it in heaven. Think about this. Only the Spirit of God knows what God is doing. Only the Spirit of God knows what God is purposing in your life. And so our pursuit must be to grow in our understanding of the Word of God, which is the plumb line, the foundation of our life, to be able to hear the Spirit of God speaking into our life and directing us in accordance with the Word of God, filling our life, guiding our life, directing our life. We've got to be led by the Spirit. Maybe you've heard that phrase before in church. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Which means that every single day, I'm not seeking my agenda, God, I'm seeking yours, I'm seeking your glory. And so, Spirit of God, lead. Spirit of God, lead. Let's jump down to this next one. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Bible, Holy Spirit speaks through prayer, the Holy Spirit speaks through circumstances. I love this passage, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. It's not gonna be on the screen, but it's in your Bible. He says this, and we know, we are confident that in all things, everybody say all things. In all things, that's good things, bad things, wonderful things, painful things, great moments, horrific moments. We know, we're confident that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He says, for those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. I think about all of the experiences and circumstances in my life and how God has used them all. The good ones and the ones that just wounded my heart. Things that just wounded my life. But God used all of those things to point me to Jesus. To know his love, to know his grace, to know his forgiveness, to know the strength of God and the comfort of God and the help of God and the love of God. Well, that's what we do, that God is teaching us by his Spirit. And this is what I've discovered, that even though this process is painful, because I've come to know him now by following him for the last 27 years, I know this, I can trust his map. I can trust his map. I know that I have a personal guide. I know that I'm ultimately going to be okay because God is working all things to the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. And I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. That he's gonna be with me, he's gonna be in me, he's gonna lead me through it, he's gonna comfort me, he's gonna counsel me when I need help, he's gonna guide me and direct me whenever I need direction. The Spirit of God will use all circumstances, and at times he is speaking to us, pointing us to Jesus. Let me ask you, what are you going through right now? What are you facing right now? What struggle are you in? What valley are you in? What circumstance do you find yourself in right now? And I want to challenge you to always be listening. For the Spirit of God will point you to Jesus. He will point you to his love for you. He will point you to his strength and his comfort. He will guide you. The Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. I'll give it freely. I'll pour it out into your life. Listen, God wants you to know him. God is not some distant deity. He is a father who desires to have an intimate and a personal love relationship with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his plan and his purpose for your life. God is not trying to hide from you. God is speaking. You just got to start listening. Amen? The last one I want you to get today is that the Holy Spirit speaks through the church. Holy Spirit speaks to the church. Now, what I mean by that is this. The church is not the authority in your life. That's old school Roman Catholicism, all right? Like, you can't know the word, we'll tell you what the word says. That's why we all have Bibles, all right? That's why you got a YouVersion Bible app, all right? We want you to know the word. The word is the authority in your life. And so the authority in your life is not a church and it is not a preacher. I am not your spiritual authority. I'm your pastor. I'm your under-shepherd. Jesus is the head of the church, all right? But this is what we know. God speaks to us through the church. How many of you know God does something when we come together? God speaks to us when we're at Catalyst Church on the weekend. Amen? God does something in our life. I constantly have people that come up to me after a church service or after a message, and whether it be in between services, or they'll email me later on in the week, or they'll give me a call, something like that. And they say this all the time. Pastor Jason, did my wife talk to you this week? I'm like, no, why? Because I swear you are preaching straight to me. Like, and I get that. Did somebody tell you what I'm going through? Did somebody email you, give you a phone call? You know, listen, I have never written a sermon based on what someone else has ever said. This is what we do. We preach the word of God. You know what happens? The Spirit of God takes the truth of God and implants it exactly where you need it. Amen? Come on. Puts it exactly where you need it to be. I've had people say, when you said this, and I'll look back and I go, I didn't say that. I said something like that, but what's amazing is that the Spirit will take the truth and put it exactly where you are. He'll put it right in your marriage. He'll put the truth right into your heart. He'll put the truth right into what you are facing, right into what you're struggling with. And he will speak a very personal and real word to your life based on the truth of God's word. Listen, that's something that God does when we come together. There's something about when two or more, the Bible says, are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them, that when we come and we lift up the name of Jesus and we worship, the Bible says, God inhabits the praise of his people. When we pray, God is present and working and drawing and pursuing a love relationship with us. He's inviting us into his mission. When we hear the word of God, let me challenge you. When you hear the word of God, you need to be ready for the voice of God. Let me just challenge you with this. I'm going to just challenge you. I know some of you, you're used to just simply coming to church and just listening. You're like, I just want to experience. But I want to challenge you to take it a step further. I want to challenge you, anytime you are hearing the word of God, to have a Bible, have a journal or a notebook, have a pen, have a highlighter. You know, that's how you study the word. And I want to challenge you, take notes. That's why we give you notes. We give you some blank spots. We give you, for the type A individuals, they have to fill in every single blank by the end, you know. I mean, we give it all to you, all the scriptures. We do that to equip you with the plumb line, the truth of God's word. And this is though what we know. We know that if you don't take notes, you forget 95% of what I said by Wednesday. I gotta tell you, that is depressing. All right? That is depressing. Because I'm giving you some good stuff here, all right? And that's not prideful, that's just the word. Man, this is good. This will impact your life. And you will get so much more out of it. And you will find your relationship with God and your understanding of the scripture will grow so much more whenever you are interacting with the word, when you're taking notes, when you're highlighting, when you go back over those notes in biblical community and life group and you flesh it out and talk it out, I tell you, there's a reason why we take the messages on the weekend and we put them into Bible studies for the week for the life group. Why? Because we are reinforcing what God is speaking to his people. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. God will speak to you here because he loves you and he's got a purpose for your life and he wants you to know him and he wants you to know his will and he wants you to know his truth. Not just know the will of God, but he wants you to know how to do the will of God. And there's just something that God does when we come together on the weekends and worship. The Apostle Paul, I believe, wrote the book of Hebrews. It might be an assumption for some, but Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, this is what he says. He says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Otherwise, some are like, well, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Well, that's right, that's true. But because I'm married, guess what? I go home at night. Because I'm growing that relationship, all right? That's my home, that's where I go. And so where if you're in relationship with God, the Bible says don't make it a habit of missing church is what it's saying. It's got to be a priority in our life. Why? Because God speaks to us there. He says, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. See, God is speaking to us, but we have to learn how to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. God is speaking to us every day through his word. And so we need to make sure that regularly, daily, weekly, we are putting ourselves into position to be able to read the word of God and study the word and memorize the word and be taught the word, experience the word, so the Spirit of God might teach us through truth. That God is speaking to you through prayer. So we need to make sure that we're constantly putting ourselves into a position where we're seeking the will of God in this relationship with our Heavenly Father in prayer. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. So we need to make sure that we're constantly putting ourselves there. The Spirit of God will speak to you through your circumstances. The Spirit of God will speak to you through his church. But here's the challenge. We have to be listening. We have to be listening. Would you pray with me today? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time when we're able to come together and to sing and to praise and to declare in worship and in song and in prayer that God, in you we have victory. That you are our Father, that you love us as your children, that you are pursuing a relationship with us that is real and personal. And God, I pray today that you would teach us how to hear your voice. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the gift that you have given to us as a seal, as a guarantee of our salvation. That the Spirit of God has come to live inside of every single believer, to not just be with us, but to be in us and to lead us and guide us to Jesus, to conform us into the image of Jesus. And so today we ask that you would teach us again how to listen to you and how to follow you and how to be filled with your Holy Spirit and led by your Spirit. And I pray today that we would maybe just start right here, that we would say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, let your will be done in our life. And I pray that every person would make that a very personal prayer. That whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, that their prayer today would be, Holy Spirit, speak your word to me, your truth, the will of the Father, and let your will be done, not mine. Father, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.